Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you are a God who comes to us. You convict us. You comfort us. You draw us to yourself. Father, you've given us your word that we might understand what you have for us. Father, we thank you that you are a God who has come to us. Father, we pray that today you give us a heart to hear your word, to hear what you have for us today. Not what you have for someone else, but what you have for us today. Father, might we be people that respond to you. And Father, we pray that you give us a clean heart, a pure heart, that we can hear your voice today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're talking about living the dream. And as we've looked at here, it's building Christ-centered, ethnically diverse, transforming community that the world might know that Jesus Christ is Lord. We've been talking about that, trying to understand that, what that means. We've seen that that's what the Lord wants for us, to bring us together. The two have been made one. And we've been taking a look at this in the book of Ephesians. And you know, when we think about that, you start getting self-reflective and looking at what we need to be and what we need to be doing and all those kind of things. And looking at that stuff, and we start really working on it. Really, the book of Ephesians is written to the church to think about how we're to be relating to one another and how to live out this being one in him. But we live in a world, the song just before that that we sang really describes the world we live in, isn't it? There's all this stuff going on, and I've been talking about this, I feel like, I talk about it every week, so I just, you feel like, wow, kind of, maybe I should chop about it. But we face it every week, don't we? And our reaction to it's important because, see, we live in a world that really is in deep need, isn't it? There was that song way back in the day, all the world, the world needs love, sweet love, that sappy song that was, And it's, we just need love, sweet love. And you're thinking, man, it seems like we need a little, crack side of the head maybe or something, But we look at the world, what does the world need? We see the world and it's what Paul described. Here's in Ephesians chapter 4 when he said, I tell you, insist on this in the Lord that you must no longer live with the Gentiles. Do what? In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened to their understanding and separated from the life of God. Living in darkness. I mean, just totally not a clue as to how to deal with what's going on in the world. I don't care who you are. We just don't know where to go. And that's the world we live in. We're looking for answers. We're looking for things. And we say to ourselves, well, where is all this going? We can't tell right from wrong anymore. You can't tell anybody anything because everybody's right in their own eyes. Isn't that right? That's kind of what's happening in Judges. We're all right in our own eyes. So how can you determine what's right and wrong? We don't have any power to really change anything. We thought we changed something. We didn't change anything. It seems to go right back to where it was before or worse. What the world needs is they need to see something different. Because, see, we just keep going back to the same old things, don't we? They need to see that there's something different, a different way to live than the way we figured out is the way to survive. We just need to figure that out. The world needs that. They need to be able to see something different. They need to be exposed to the power that can actually make a difference. It's not money. It's not influence. All those things that we think should make a difference just don't make a difference. And they need to be exposed to the power and understand it, right? They need something in order for things to change. And you know what? You may already know what I'm going to say. You looked at the title of my sermon today. The reality is this. The world needs a gift. They need something that they don't deserve. They need something that they don't even expect to get. And you know who the gift is? The gift is us. Let me say that again. The gift is us, the church. We are the gift to a world that's falling apart. Now, many times we see the world falling apart and our reaction is like, whoa, I'm glad I'm not a part of that. Right? Which is kind of an odd thing to say considering we're here, isn't that right? And so what we see is that this desire to see something happen and to actually be a gift. Wouldn't you love it to be that you're a God's gift to somebody? Wouldn't you love to be God's gift to somebody? All right? And that's what he's made us, God's gift to the world. Because you see, I know this because I see that it's built in each of us here. I see this in churches. I see this outside the church. You know, when someone wants to, they get stirred to do something, everybody wants to help. You know, we have all these, walks and runs and all this stuff in this town. We do stuff. People do that all the time. There's a whole business around that stuff. People want to do something. They want to help. They want to provide something that changes something, whether it's medical things, whether it's policies, whatever it is. We want to do something to help, and we'll do something to help. Unfortunately, I don't think there's lives that match it. We just want to tell people what should change and throw some money at it, and we want to live the way we live. And I think what happens is that we become then, whether it's from the church or wherever it comes from, we just simply become preaching. Ever wonder why it is that we just seem like people just think you're just preaching? You ever had someone say that to you? You just seem like you're just preaching. Because, see, we want something to change, but we don't recognize what it is the gift is that they need. And we don't recognize the gift that we are as the body of Christ to a world that's falling apart, that needs a gift. So this morning we're going to take a look at what it is, in what way are we the gift? As we've been looking at the put off, put on, as you know, God, Paul has said that we aren't to live like the Gentiles, like the unbelievers, okay? That we're supposed to be different. We didn't learn Christ that way. We're to be putting off and putting on. Remember that? I mean, I say it every week, so you remember that? Yeah? I'm not hearing much this morning. We're all a little quiet today, okay? But, so that's what he's talking about. And we're to put that on, and we're to live that out. We become something different. Now we need to act like it, okay? It's very clear that we become something. He's made us one, and now we are to be working it out. And we've been talking about how we need to be living honest. We've been talking about how we need to be, how we need to talk to one another and care for one another. Consider the needs of someone else, not just my own need. My own situation. And we need to talk, and we need to be kind and compassionate and forgiving. And we also talked last week how we need to not be living in a world of sexual immorality and impurity and greed. And we need to set that aside. And we need to be thankful. Now, last week I challenged you to be thinking about things that you can be thankful for. Okay? We've been talking about those things, and that's about us, right? It's about us. And we see then now in Ephesians that Paul, in the midst of talking about us as the church, then he talks about how are we supposed to relate in this world that we're living in. See, I think that's what we got to remember, that we are never out of touch with this world. We are in it, okay? We are in it. Let's not pretend like somehow we can cloister ourselves and look at the world around us and say, it doesn't have anything to do with me, because we go to church and we do things with each other and we're just wonderful people. And let the world go to hell. Now, we don't say it that way. But the reality is we can't get off the hook, right? We can't get off the hook. And church is not just about us getting together and surviving. It's about being the gift. And so we see that as Paul talks here. He just talked about this section. We're going to start in verse 7 of chapter 5, where he just talked about, he's responding, talked about this, that there shouldn't be even a hint of sexual immorality or impurity or greed in our midst. He talked about being thankful, talked about the fact that's what we're supposed to be doing. And he said that there is no immoral or impure or greedy person who is an idolater who has the inheritance in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of Christ and of God, in verse 5. And he's described, and don't be deceived, that God is angry about those things, okay? And then he picks up where we're going to pick up today. He says, verse 7, he says, therefore, do not be partners with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. He's saying specifically here what he just said. He says, therefore, here's what you're not supposed to do. And the first thing we see here is in this section is that what makes us the gift to the world is that we are the display of the life of light. We are the display of the light of God. You go to a store, when you go at Christmas time, you want to kind of see stuff, right? And so they put out the display. I was over at Menards yesterday doing a little project, and you walk in there and Christmas is there. Do you realize that? It's on display. It's telling you what Christmas is about. It's about lights and little curvy paths and Santa and all this stuff. It's on display. And you see, we are on display to the world. We are showing the world what life really should be about. That's our gift to the world. We're supposed to be showing it. And so he starts here. He talks about, first of all, in order to do that, he tells us that we have to be, there's a restriction on who we identify with, okay? How our identity is determined here. Look, he says, first of all, he starts out, he says, therefore, do not be partners with them. And who's the them he's talking about? Well, specifically, those who are immoral, impure, or greedy. He says, don't be partners with them. This word here for partners, it's this idea. It's not about association, just merely association, but it's about being identified with them. So when you're a partner with somebody, it's the sense that you're identified, that what they are is what you are. Okay? And he says to not partner with them. Sometimes we can take this verse and we can say, see, why are you talking about us being in the world? It says here we're not supposed to partner with any of them folks out there. Well, it can't mean that. Because one of the things that we do on Wednesday night in our Bible study is we talk about content, context, and what's the third one? Bruce, what's the third one? You can't remember right now. It's comparison. We look at other scripture, and when we say here, well, this has got to be that we shouldn't be talking to anybody from the world, we shouldn't be associating with anybody, it can't be that. Because we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul is talking to the church there. And he said he's talking about what they need to be doing and how they need to be establishing their righteousness and so on and dealing with the situation in the church. And it says, Paul says, I have written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. So he's saying the same thing. You're not be partners with them, right? Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. It's the same list, isn't it? He said, I'm not talking about those folks. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But not I. But now I am writing you on that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother but is sexually immoral or greedy or an idolater or a slanderer or a drunkard or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. So he's talking about who do we identify, who identifies with us. It doesn't mean we don't associate, and we could talk into the details of all that again. We are so busy trying to figure out who doesn't be a part of us, who we shouldn't partner with, that we forget what our call is. But it shouldn't determine us. We shouldn't be known as immoral, idolaters, greedy. Okay? We shouldn't be known as that. But Paul is saying we aren't. That doesn't mean we don't mix. It's just that shouldn't characterize us. And so we shouldn't be partners, association with that way, that we're identified with them. And that's a tricky business, and we don't have time to talk about all that today, because what did Jesus do? If there's someone who was separate, right, who did not partner with the world, it was Jesus. But what was he called? A friend of sinners. Obviously, there's a delicate balance there, isn't that right? But he's for sure saying Jesus was never characterized, however, they could never pin it on him that he was a sinner, however, could they? Because he didn't let them identify him, but there was association that people tried to peg on him that he didn't. He just wouldn't stick, okay? It just wouldn't stick. So he says here, so Paul starts out by saying that we're the gift, we need to understand that we can't let that group of people that are that group that he's talking about here be our identity. We need to be careful how we do that, okay? But then he goes on, he says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. He says here, he brings up a picture here, he brings up this image of light and dark. And we see this image a lot, and we know this image, right? That we are the light, okay? Notice he says here that we have become the light, but we were once darkness. So this image here of darkness and light is about darkness being that place of misdeeds, of that place where it's kind of that place where things aren't the way they're supposed to be. Isn't that right? We know that image of darkness. That's a classic distinction, that in the darkness is where things happen that aren't right. There's fear there. It's the realm of evil. Nothing good happens there in the dark. But light, that's the sphere of good. That's the sphere where things are the way God wants them to be. And we see that even in Scripture, that the light is where God is at, the places that are shining. And the light shines into the darkness. We see in John chapter 1 that the Word is described, the Word who is Jesus, is described as the life that is the light of men. And we see here that there's light, and he says, the light came into the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There's clearly this distinction here between light and dark. And he brings this out here, and Paul describes this, that there is this distinction between these two things, and that there's light and there's darkness. And so with this association, that we're not to partner with them, because we're no longer part of that partnership. Because he says here, look what he says. He says, you were once darkness. You once were in the darkness. We read in chapter 2 here, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we read this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. That's pretty dark, isn't it? In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work to those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. He says, you once were partners with them. That identified you. That was your identity. You were in the darkness. So let's none of us think somehow that, you know, we never were there. You know what I mean? You ever act like that towards people? I don't know what you're talking about. I've never been there. You know, I've been a believer since I was 3 years old. But Paul here is clearly saying there was a time when we were apart from God and we were in the darkness. So get off your high horse, okay? And remember, we all were in that place. He says, you were once darkness. Yes, that's why there's this it's confusion. But he says, but now you are light in the Lord. Notice he doesn't say you have the light. He doesn't say you will look for the light. He doesn't say you have the message of the light. He says you are the light in the Lord. You see, there's been a transformation that's happened. You've gone from being in darkness to now being the light. That's an amazing, that's what it says here. You can't get away from it. That's what the Bible says. It says we are the light. And when he says that we are the light, he's talking about the body of Christ. Each of us individually, us together, we are the light in the Lord. It's kind of like this illustration. The way this works is, take a look at a light bulb. How is a light bulb the light? A light bulb is a light only when the electricity comes to it. There is no light from a bulb if there's no electricity. If there's no power, it's just a bulb. You can paint it and put it on your Christmas tree, and it might look nice, but it is not a light, right? Unless it's hooked to the electricity. And you see, that's what happens to us. We are transformed into a light bulb. And the way we are to, then we, what we are to do is that the light is to shine through us. Okay? And so we see that that's what he's done. So we become this light, and now we are in a new partnership. The word here that's used for therefore do not be partners with them, it's also used in chapter 3 where Paul says, this mystery is that through the gospel the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and here's the word, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Partners with Israel. Gentiles and Jews are partners. In matter of fact, in chapter 2, he said, we become one. You see, so we are no longer partners with the world. We are partners with other believers, with God himself in Christ. We have become partners together. That's who our partners are, and that takes us out of the partnership with the world, okay? That's what he's describing. That's our state. That's why it is that we need to not partner with them, because we have a new partnership now. And that partnership's expressed as we see here, that we see that this partnership is the church. It's one body. It's the one. But notice what it's for. It says in verse 7, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to who? To everyone, the administration of this mystery, which for ages past has kept hidden in God who created all things. His intention now of this partnership was what? His intention was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. We've talked about this before, but the reality is we have become partners together so that the world might know who Jesus is, not so that we'll have a place to go on Sunday morning, not so that we'll have a place where we feel comfortable, not so that we are going to be taken care of. All those things are true. But you know what? That's not what he did it for. He brought us together to be a display to the world of the grace of his of the gospel. We are a gift to the world that says, see, it can be done. See, that's my work. That's what we're to be, is the display of the gospel. You see? That's why we've come together. And he, so he says that, that's who we are. And then he says, as we've been seeing here, then he says, live as children of the light. Live as children of the light. So now we have to do it. What we've been talking about, putting on, all those things. I could go through all those things. He says, now do it. Don't sit here and say, amen. Amen. All right, amen. Pastor Christian preached a good sermon. And we walk out of here and we go our separate ways, or we're mad at each other. We ignore each other. We don't take care of each other. We don't work on the things. He says, live as children of light. And that's he's talking about all the things he's been talking about up to this point. We need to live this way so that the world can see the gift that we are. You understand? We need to be living out the gift that we are. How many times do we not live out the gift that we are? We're too busy just being children. Not children of the light. We're just children. We get mad, we get upset, we don't like something, we fight, we bicker. But see, we're called to live as children of light. And to take all these things, and you see, this is not just about us. And this is why I want you to understand, as we sit here this morning, many times that's what we struggle with, don't we? We want to make church something that is for me. And that's not what it's about. It only becomes good for me as I'm understanding what it is that I am and I become what he's called me to be. And we, together, are to be living as the children of light. Because you see, here's what happens. When we live as children of light, look what happens. The fruit of the light consists in goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness, those things which are the things, that kind of the way God has created things to go. Righteousness are the things that are right. Truth is the way things really are. He says, when we start living as the light, then God's way is seen. The way that everybody's looking for is seen when we live it. Not when we talk about it. You got to talk about it in order to live it, right? But you see, what the world's looking at, we are the gift because he says, I'm going to do this in your midst. I'm going to make you one. I've made you one. You're going to live like one. And the world's going to see goodness and righteousness and truth when they look at the church, not the church just saying things, but the church doing it. See what he's saying? We are on display. We are on display as we do what God called us to do. And he describes here the way this happens. He says, and find out what pleases the Lord. It's a process. The way we walk, the way we live as children of light, is we are continuing the process of figuring out what pleases God. What pleases the Lord? He says here, it's a process here that we have to, you know, we just don't get it automatically. Don't we think sometimes you come to Jesus, and then it's like, I got it all together. I know everything. Now, that's our problem, isn't it? Because we assume that's what happens. So then we assume that all these good, perfect people that just accepted Jesus get together in one place, and then everything is just wonderful because we're all just wonderful because we've got it all figured out. But that it falls way short of that, doesn't it? Doesn't it fall way short of that? But you see, we have to be seeking to please, find out what pleases the Lord. And he's just been giving us a list of things, right? He's been showing us the things that please him. So he says, find out what pleases the Lord in specific ways. That's how we live as children of light. Are you pursuing what pleases the Lord? Are you pursuing what pleases you? You see, he's saying we need to be pursuing what pleases the Lord. And you could conclude here, as he's been making this argument here, is that what pleases the Lord is as the body of Christ lives as the one man that he's created in Jew and Gentile. He's brought everyone together, and he said, that's what pleases me. When you start living together, working it out, figuring out how to be that. Because when we don't, then we are just in trouble. And we may church shop, we may run around, we may look for things, but the reality is, unless the church is doing this, our church and the church in La Crosse and the church in the world does not see on display the very thing they're looking for. And we can preach to them all we want. You got me? We can preach all we want, but that's not how they see it. They only see it when we live it. Amen? And that's what he's saying here. He's saying that's why we need to live as children of light, because we're on display to show what pleases the Lord and to show that the Lord has power. So we see the life the way it's supposed to be, and then they also see the power that's displayed. Because if it's not happening here, then it's just talk. Isn't that right? So that's what he describes. So it says that we are the display of what God has. But he also says how. So that's how we're the gift. They're supposed to be able to look at us and see how life is supposed to be. But we are also gift to the world because we are the revealers of God's transforming truth. Okay, we are the ones that expose. And actually, that's the word we have here. Because look what he says. He goes on now and he says, okay, after this, you're living this out and seek what pleases the Lord. And then he says in verse 11, have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness. So again, it comes back to sense you shouldn't be acting like the world. You shouldn't be doing those things that are fruitless deeds of darkness. You shouldn't be living like people do in the darkness. Okay? They got a whole list of things we could come up with there, right? Don't do that. But he says, he doesn't just say, well, then just run away. So that's what we sometimes do. We go, we run away, and we say, let's all be Christians over here. And then let's look over there and say, my goodness, look how bad it is. Let's pray for them. He says here, no, you are to not participate in those things, but what? But rather expose them. You see, that's the job of light, isn't it? Light comes into the darkness, and it exposes what's there. It shows what's there. Is that right? You know what? Darkness never takes over the light. Only as the light leaves, darkness shows up. So wherever the light is, darkness has to flee. And he says here that what we're supposed to be is, we're supposed to be in the place of we're the light. He says, remember, he said we're the light. We don't just have the light. We are the light. So where we are is what exposes people. Okay? It's to expose these deeds of darkness. It's to expose these things. He says, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to expose them by being who we are. Now, why is it that we need to, why does he say we need to do this? Well, because the first thing is that it's hidden. These things are hidden. The world needs us because they're hidden to them. Okay? Look what he says here. He says, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Okay, shameful even to mention what the disobedient do, because it's hidden. It's not even spoken of. It's the hidden things. So we realize that the fact that the world just goes on thinking this is the way it's supposed to be. That's how it works. We have our own logic as the way it works. It seems to fit that way, so then nobody challenges it. And the world just keeps going down that track. So if someone's going the wrong direction, and because they're in the fog, and no one ever clears the fog, where are they going to end up? In the wrong place. Isn't that right? But someone that can come along and open up the fog, you can see where you are. That's what our gift is. We're to show people where they are. Okay? Because he says we're to expose them. We're to expose this fruitless deeds of darkness. Because all these things are in secret. They're done in secret, so let's put them out there. Sometimes people just need to be reminded what their life really is about. Isn't that right? You start thinking that, you're really doing something that really makes sense, and all of a sudden someone explains it to you from a different point of view. Or anybody do that? He kind of explains it, and you're thinking, man, that is kind of crazy, isn't it? Again, in the extreme sense of this, someone that's in addiction, When you're living that life in addiction, everything, that seems like the world is supposed to be. But I've talked to people that are out of addiction now, and they say, man, that life is crazy. I've never talked to an addict that says his life is crazy until he starts looking at it from the outside and says, man, that's crazy. What am I doing? When you're in it, it just seems like the way things are. But you see, that's what we do, is we expose this and we see this and it becomes visible. In verse 13, he says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. We can see the way it really is. And see, that's our gift to the world. We're supposed to show the world what they're doing is not going where they think it's going, right? It's not producing what you think it's producing. If you just take this topic of sexual immorality that's here, the world has convinced ourselves that sex any way is good. You'll hear that from people. I don't care where you get it from or how you get it. It's okay. And they cannot see the disaster that is. Because even you start talking about issues of rape and this Harvey Weinstein thing and all this kind of stuff, do you ever hear them say that maybe the problem is that in Hollywood today and the audiences, that they want all that stuff on the screen? Is it surprising that those that are in charge of that would act that way? You ever hear anybody say that? Oh, no. This guy should have known better. This guy, he's supposed to not do this, and we need to get people in power, and we just need to put him in jail because, you know what? That's the problem. He's the problem. What do you mean he's the problem? Look at what we watch. Look at what we talk about, and the world doesn't see it at all. But you see, if we're living the way we're supposed to be living, then he shines the light and you say, oh, wait a minute. Maybe that's the problem. Okay? And whatever it is you want to look at, whether it's money, it's whatever it is, you take a look at what God has to say. And if we're living according to what God says and he's providing for us, why is it that we need millions and millions of dollars? Isn't that right? But if you're not living that, what sense does it make? And you see, so we are called as a gift to the world to be able to live, and we're to expose them and to say, you know what? This is what your life really looks like. And it's to be by our life. Again, I'm going to say it again. It's not by going out now and telling all those heathens out there how terrible they are. It's about going out there and living the way they're not living, and the light, you'll be the light. So live as children of light, and when you are the light, it will expose them. You ever notice that when people know I get the chance to, as the pastor, I've used this illustration before. But as the pastor, when I show up someplace, all of a sudden people stop swearing. Because, I've got this tag that is much easier for people to, I hope it's the fact that even if I wasn't pastor, then when I show up, and I see this with other people too, when they know you don't swear, they know you have, they'll apologize. You notice the things that people apologize for. They'll apologize for the joke they just told. Now, when they don't, and there's no light there, do they apologize for the joke they just told? Probably not, okay? But when the light's there, all of a sudden you say, wait a minute, I shouldn't be saying this. just by being there. Isn't that right? It doesn't mean we shouldn't say things. I'm not saying don't say things, but you know, when we're living the life, when we say something, that's the light, not just a code of ethics, not just being the morality police. It's about living lives that God has called us to, and that's the light that shines. And then they can see the way life really is. And that's a gift, isn't it? Don't you think that's a gift? And that's what he describes here. That's what we're to be. We're to be exposing them. But this idea of exposing has a broader context as well. Because notice he says here, he says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Actually, it's revealed. The word there is becomes revealed. So when everything is exposed, it's revealed. Okay? But then he goes on to verse 14. In the NIV, it says, for it is light that makes everything visible. Actually, the way, probably a better translation of this is, all that is revealed is light. Now, that's an odd thing. You look at that and say, what do you mean everything revealed? What's been revealed? That which has been exposed. Okay? That which has been exposed, when that's been revealed, it says, is light. What do you mean that's light? How can that be light? But that's kind of the way Paul wrote, and people aren't sure, you're not sure how to take that. But I think we see the context here of it, because it's about the transformation that takes place. Because earlier it said that we were light, right? How do we become light? We got transformed, isn't that right? By Christ. We was transformed. We were transformed. And so we see here that as he's describing this, he's saying that as the light shines, when the light shows up, it's not just about, you know, exposing people. It's about seeing transformation happen. And that's also evident in the word itself. The word that says exposed, when it describes it, you know, we're to expose them, it's actually a word that also means to convict. It's something that the Holy Spirit does. In chapter 16 of John, it says the Holy Spirit exposes. Actually, the translation is convicts of sin. Now, why does the Holy Spirit convict of sin? Just to say, ha-ha, you're a sinner. Now, the Holy Spirit convicts of sin that you might respond to God. Isn't that right? And you see, the exposing is not just simply to point out that the people are doing things wrong. It's to show them the way to being right. And as the light, we are bringing to them to the light that transforms them. It reveals where they're at. It shows them where they're at. They need to respond to that. They can see what they're doing wrong. They can see where it falls short. And they can see that Jesus is the answer to changing all that. And you see, that's how they become light. Because he quotes this thing, I'm not sure where it is. It seems like he's quoting scripture, but there's no particular scripture that says this. He says, that's why it says, wake up, O sinner, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. In the sense that when Christ shines on us, something changes. Okay? And we have this picture of the light shining in Isaiah. In Isaiah, where Israel is, you know, Isaiah is speaking to Israel, he's speaking to the prophet, he's been talking about how God's going to come and restore his people. And he says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. You see, I think what he's saying here is that as we are the light, people will come and become the light. That's our gift to the world. You see, he has given us as a gift so that the world can be exposed and be transformed. That should be our goal. That should be our desire, is to see God's way done in everyone's life. See, so when we come to living as a children of the light, we've got to say, man, we've got to recognize that we as the body of Christ, we here at Neighborhood City Church, I'm gonna lay this on us here, okay? We here at Neighborhood City Church are the gift to this neighborhood. We've talked about this. We are the gift to this neighborhood. We are supposed to be the display of what Jesus does in people's lives, in a group of people's lives, when he shows up. That's supposed to be on display. And we're all supposed to be revealing to people how crazy their lives are and how short they're falling of where they're really at. That should be what Neighborhood City Church is about. That's what we should be doing. People should be able to see that. And how are they going to see that? When we're becoming what God has already made us, one in Him. You see, that's why it's so important, this dream. Building Christ-centered, ethnically diverse, transforming community that the world might know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because you see, the only way you can explain it, if it's really happening, is because Jesus did it. That's what we're called to do. And you see, if we are becoming that, then we are being the gift that we were meant to be. And so my question to us at Neighborhood City Church, and if you're here visiting today and you're a part of another church, it's the question for you as well. How is our church being the gift in the world in which we are? Are we working it out? Are we seeking to discover what pleases the Lord? Or are we too busy figuring out what church should be for me that I've forgotten what church is for? I've forgotten the dream. Because you see, when we're living out what God has called us to, you see, that's living the dream, isn't it? It's doing what He's called us to, not just being comfortable. He's called us to be the people that are on display of His work and to be the exposers and convictors and displaying the power that He has to change things. And we can only do that. What Ephesians tells us, we can only do that as we do it together. Individually, you can have an impact. I'm not saying you can't have an impact, but unless the church is doing this, it doesn't make any sense. And we're seeing that in our culture today, right? The church becomes less and less relevant as it decides to be less, more and more separate from the world and not display this. It's messy business today. It's messy business, whether it's race or class or whatever it is you want to talk about. It's messy business. But the church is to be the place where God is on display, showing how people come together in Christ, have become one, and are figuring it out. So I'm going to lay this on you today. Are you individually willing to come before the Lord and say, Lord, help me figure it out with this group of folks here at Neighborhood City Church? I have to ask myself that question. I'm seeking that. I desire for that to happen. But you see, it takes each of us, because remember what I said earlier, that as each part does its part, so the whole body grows. What is it that God is calling you to do to figure this out so that the world can know who Jesus is? That we can be the gift to the world that needs a gift so badly. So will we just stop complaining about the world and become the gift? Or are you just going to keep complaining? I leave that for you to consider this week. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you today that you come with your Spirit, that you have brought us together in the body of Christ. And Father, that you have brought us together at Neighborhood City Church. And Father, we are convinced, our faith tells us that we have a real hope, a solid hope, a certain hope, that you are a God who has done it. And Father, I pray that this morning that each of us would reflect upon where we are, how we need to respond to the put off and put on in our own personal life, but also to see that it's in the context of our body here. And that, Father, you'd show us, how are we going to work it out here? What do you want us to do here? How do you want us to be better at being the gift to the world that needs to see you in our lives? And Father, I just would pray that you just would be at work in that and just show us what that means. And I ask, Father, that your way would be done, that your Holy Spirit would be at work in us this morning, that you would stir us, that you would heal us, that you would create in us a new heart, that truly you would lift us, that we can be the people you've called us to be, the people you've made us to be. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.